Well, I want to read that scripture again, Luke 23:46. Jesus called with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. God's Son entered the world to identify with the human condition, a fallen condition, a condition where there was sin, where there was death, where there was pain, where there was evil, and he entered into this world to purchase our salvation, to bring us out of that condition by his death. But by his life, we think a lot about his death at this point, but by his whole life, he was teaching us something. He was showing us the best way to live. The best way to live is this: a life totally surrendered to God. That's the best way to live. That's the only life that's really worth living, is a life that's totally surrendered to the one who made us, our Creator. When Jesus called out with a loud voice, he gave this last message, the last message of his earthly ministry. And he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." That statement expressed a faith that had been the life pattern of Jesus all of his life. That's what he lived by, and that's what he was ready to die by. And it was a faith in a lifelong pattern of submission to his Father's will. Jesus had to have an authentic faith. If he was going to call us to follow him, then he had to have an authentic human faith. In other words, we could not follow Jesus at all unless he did this all humanly. So his faith was a human faith, and we follow him in that faith. He gave us a legitimate call to follow him in such a faith. Submission is trusting another's will or another's word and actually acting upon it. You go by what another person says or by what another person's word is, and you act upon that word. That has been Jesus' life pattern, that was, "Into your hands I commit my life. Into your hands I commit." This is a surrender. This is a submission. And this was the attitude that Jesus had while he was still in heaven. How do I know that? Well, it says it in Philippians chapter 2. "Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be held on to, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross." This was his attitude in heaven. This was his attitude as a child. And we see this when he was 12 years old, left behind in Jerusalem by his parents. They didn't know where he was. He had stayed at the temple. And when they found him, here's what his answer was. He said to them, "Why do you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" And that's what he was about all his life, his Father's business. He was about his Father's business, not about his own stuff. You know, he was about what his Father in heaven wanted him to do. During his earthly ministry, he said, "By myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me." I'm doing his thing. I'm following his business. I'm submitting my will to his. And just before his death, this was his attitude: "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, but not my will, yours be done." his attitude was a life pattern of submission. And submission, in a sense, is dying to your own will. It's dying to your own desires. What you would like to do necessarily. That's maybe it, like it. It sets our personal desires, our personal choices, our personal ideas. It sets all of those aside for other goals. Not our goals, maybe, but the goals of our Father. And it really becomes our goal then. By submitting to the Father's will, that was his goal now, just to do the Father's will. And this submission happens all the time in our life. It happens in marriage. It happens in our jobs. It happens in parenthood. And it happens in military service, where you have to submit to some other... You die to your own self, and you sort of submit to the will and the goals that are outside of yourself. Dying to one's own will. Dying to one's own will. That is a very central thing in Christianity. In the Christian faith, that's very central. Jesus lived this, and he taught it. He taught a life of death to self. In Luke chapter 9, he says, "Then he said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross." What's cross? The cross is a death sentence, isn't it? Death to your own will. Take up your cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Now, what's the alternative? What's the alternative? Surrendering your own will. Well, the alternative yields limited returns. You know, this is really interesting. Those who buy stock in this world, their returns are really limited. You think, well, I've got a lot of money now from all the stock I invested in. It's poof, when you're dead, it's gone. It's like, it's over. And Jesus, he says, this is very interesting, because the word "I commit," you know what that word "I commit" is? It's a financial term. It's a "I invest." It's like I put on deposit. Isn't that amazing? And he used a financial term there. Yeah. There's limited returns on worldly investments, really. There really are limited returns on worldly investments. Here's what Jesus said. "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And this whole thing is about a heart issue. This idea of submission is a heart issue. And God is preaching a heart issue to us today from his last message on the cross. "I commit into your hands, Father. I commit." And this idea of surrender is sometimes the hardest heart issue that we have in the Christian faith. What will we or what will we not surrender to God? I want you to notice something in the detail that is in the crucifixion story. There's a lot of detail, and I think it's there for a reason. John chapter 19 says this. "When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom." Now that's an important point. And John puts it right in here, because his inner life, like his inner garment, had one strand that was woven through the whole garment. The whole thing was one strand, and that one strand was submission. Surrender of his life to his Father's will. All the way through. That's interesting. That was his undergarment that was that way. And that when it was given up, you know, it was his total submission. Total submission. Christ's inner life. And, you know, he calls us. He calls us to the same thing. He wants us to have that life pattern himself. He exclaimed with his faith when he said, I commit into your hands, Father, my spirit. Now that expressed his faith. That expressed his faith as his life pattern of submission. But it also expressed his submission to spiritual goals. He was focused here on something spiritual is happening. Christ's words of committal pointed beyond this world, this visible world, this visible physical reality, to an invisible spiritual world. I commit my spirit. Here he was, suffering physically, you know, but he was thinking about the spirit. As body-spirit beings, and that's what we really are, body-spirit beings, all our human activity is physical, is circumstantial, but it's also spiritual. It's all spiritual. No matter what we're doing, it's all spiritual. Whether it concerns jobs, or whether it concerns households, or whether it concerns politics or finances, everything we do is also spiritual. We are body-spirit beings, not just bodies and not just spirits, but both together. Both together. And successful living in the world of inevitable physical death, I mean, it's going to happen to all of us. To live successfully, we must focus on spiritual victory. Not just physical victories, not just circumstantial victories, but spiritual victories. That's how success in life is really measured, when it's all over and done. And this is why Jesus, he was in the midst of his physical suffering, in the midst of these physical realities, he was focused. He had placed his major focus was on the spiritual task, the spiritual realm, what he was accomplishing in the spirit. So do not worry, Jesus had said in the Sermon on the Mount, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, or what ye shall wear, for the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. The physical is important, and God knows that. But the priority, the accent, the focus, what Jesus lays down first is the spiritual, because that guides all the physical. I often think about deathbed conversions. I think they're wonderful. When people die on their deathbed, they convert. But you know what? There's so few of those. There are not many deathbed conversions that we know about. We hear of them, and they're really amazing when they happen. But there are so few deathbed conversions. Why is that? Well, whatever was held to be foremost during this life, sometimes in facing death, it still stays foremost. I don't know. When I was first going through nursing school, I was working as an aide, and I was staying with a man one night, watching him several days, and then I found out that following week he had died of cancer. And he was a dying man, but he had no use for anything I'm telling about God's word. He had no use for it. He spent all his time watching porn on TV. I mean, where's that going to take him? Why? Why was he so focused on that? He was focused on porn. He was an old fellow. And I tell you, his mind was set on that rather than on his spiritual eternity that he was having to face. And Jesus calls us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, because all these other things are ephemeral, really. They pass away. And whatever has been a little kingdom in our life, or maybe a lot of little kingdoms, they all have to be displaced by this one major kingdom, the kingdom of God, the spiritual realm. There was a frightened woman that came to Ralph Waldo Emerson, and she was reporting a rumor that she had heard. They say the world is coming to an end. What shall we do? And he told her not to worry, saying, we can get along without the world. And you know what? We can, and we will. While we spend time in heaven, hey, we're going to get along without this world. We really will. But how do we get along well now in this world without being dominated by the kingdoms of this world? How do we do that? It depends on our faith and surrender to God's kingdom. And that's what Jesus said in his last words. I commit my spirit unto you. And that's what we need to do with our spirits right now in order to have victory right now in this life till our dying days and then experience the total victory up there in heaven. But finally, this faith was another kind of a faith too. A faith in a relationship with his Father. That's what it basically was. This submission thing, this surrender deal, it was about his Father. It was about a relationship. It wasn't just a mechanical thing he went through. It wasn't just a kind of a mechanical fast that you go through or a sort of a ritual. No, it was a real relationship. You know, atheism ignores many, many questions about the universe that make, really, if you consider those questions, they make belief in an intelligent designer very, very easy. But they reject and ignore those questions. But a relationship with God is not just about belief in God. Because an atheist says, I don't believe in God, or he may say, well, I believe there might be a God. But that's not enough. There must be a trust. I not only believe in God, but I trust Him. I'm in a walk in my life where I trust Him. I've entrusted my thinking. I've entrusted my ideas, my desires, my plans. I've entrusted them all because I trust Him. I surrender them all to Him. And that's what Jesus, in saying, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. It was His total trust in His Father. Total trust. Jesus lived and He died in a prayerful relationship. It wasn't just, you know, God gave me this task to do. No, He was constantly praying to His Father. And at the cross Himself, this is a prayer. He was praying, and it's very interesting what kind of prayer it was. Jesus was quoting. And guess what He was quoting? He was quoting a familiar passage from the Psalms used by Jewish children as a go-to-bed prayer. Like, well, now I lay me down to sleep. That's what He was quoting. That's the kind of thing Jesus did on the cross in showing forth His relationship with His Father. And it comes from Psalm 31:5. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Redeem me, O Lord, the God of truth. He didn't have to get redeemed. He was actually redeeming the world right there. But He had inserted, instead of the Lord, He inserted something else into that. That was more relational. He inserted the word Father. Father. It was relationship. It was relationship. Jesus preached with His last dying breath that a life totally surrendered to God is the only life worth living. That's what He was preaching. The Father had committed Jesus, had committed to Jesus a certain trust. When He was sent to the earth, it was to preach the good news and to die for the sins of the world. And now, having kept that trust, Jesus was confidently committing Himself back to His Father. There was a relationship there. It was so intimate. God wants that relationship with us. God wants us to surrender to Him because it's the wisest thing to do. Otherwise, we get lost and He has to be coming, where are you? He's looking for us. You know, who you been listening to? Have you not done what I told you to do to keep you safe? Oh, boy. Well, Christ's final words calls us to that same commitment. 1 Peter chapter 4 says this, so then those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. It's not over yet. We've still got a lot of good we can do, isn't there? Well, we have to do that in submission to our Father. And whether we are facing life's decline or whether we are facing life's departure, departing from this life, total surrender to God is the only worth life life worth living. And our first Christian martyr, Stephen, he did it. He expressed it the same way in Acts chapter 7. When he was being stoned, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." He also was entrusting himself to God. I want to read this poem as we close. It's from Robert Browning, and it's a fictitious poem, but what he was doing when he was trying to capture an idea of the early martyrs when Robert Browning wrote this. So try to follow me with this. Robert Browning is very intellectual, very good writer. So sometimes his poetry is a little hard. I'll read it slow. "I was born sickly, poor, and mean, a slave. No misery could screen the holders of the pearl of price from Caesar's envy. Therefore twice I fought with beasts, and three times saw my children suffer by his law. At last, my own release was earned. I was some time in being burned. But at the close, a hand came through the flames above my head and drew my soul to Christ, whom now I see. Sergius, a brother, writes for me this testimony on the wall. For me, I have forgot it all." You know, God will wipe away all tears from our eyes when we get to heaven. When this life is over, we'll forget all the surrendering that we did to pain and suffering. Because sometimes we have to surrender to it too. Only our submission to God, only our surrender to Christ, the life that we surrender to Christ, that will be remembered. That will be remembered because it's a relationship that will last for eternity. It starts now. It's a heart relationship that we have with God now. But that surrender will last forever in eternity. Let's pray. Father God, we pray, Father, because Jesus taught us about our God being a Father who seeks us like a shepherd when we are lost sheep and says, "Where are you?" and finds us and brings us home back into the flock. Lord, I pray that we will be committed not to be straying sheep, not to do our own thing, but not to listen to fallen angels and who are demons that try to distract us, but do the will that you want us to do. Make your goals our goal. Make your plans our plan. Make your will our will. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.